Welcome to The Doctor Diaries, a podcast which will take you behind the scenes of the intriguing medical world. Join me, Hanya Rothersby, an experienced business consultant in the medical sphere, as I chat to our guests who will take us through their insights, experiences and ideas as an expert, thought leader and trailblazer in this exciting medical world. Welcome to the Dr. Diaries podcast. Today we have the absolute pleasure of speaking to Dr. Jeffrey Frommowitz, dermatologist from Boca Raton in Florida, USA. Welcome, Jeff, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely delighted and honored to join you and looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, absolutely. So just to preface our introduction, we're very excited. You'll be joining us in Australia next week at the non-surgical symposium that's being held in the Gold Coast, which is really exciting. But as usual, we would love to delve into who you are, and maybe you could start by telling us about your journey and how you got here.
Certainly. So I am a board-certified dermatologist. I'm in private practice in Boca Raton, Florida. I've been in private practice for 17 years. So really have had a wonderful opportunity to see the evolution of dermatology, the evolution of aesthetic medicine, really kind of living through very exciting and compelling times as we approach aging, healthy aging, aging gracefully, and all of the different things that we get to be involved with as dermatologists.
Yeah, well, we've definitely seen that in the landscape as well. So I've been in this industry for over 20 years now, and I must say that looking at your 17 years would be interesting to explore. Maybe you can take me through that dermatology 17 years ago and where you see it's evolved to now.
Absolutely. Well, I think a couple of things that we've seen, kind of the larger trends, have been the approach to individualized care. So patients really coming in, being educated, informed consumers, understanding and communicating better what their goals are, and really expecting us to tailor their treatments to their specific needs. I'll tell you the other overall main trend that we've seen, or the evolution, has truly been the mainstreaming of what we call aging gracefully, or aesthetic rejuvenation, natural results, really becoming a fundamental part of daily practice. You know, when we started, aesthetic medicine was a little bit nascent. We were dabbling with a little neuromodulator, probably a little bit of collagen, a very limited amount of lasers in our practice. But my God, we've just seen such an explosion in aesthetic technologies. And frankly, you all probably have far many fillers, modulators, opportunities and technologies available even to you overseas that we may not yet have here in the States.
It's a very interesting, and as you say, it's exactly that. Depends on the medical regulators in each country, what's available to people. Europe's different to Australia, to the USA, absolutely. So, but as a dermatologist, your organ is the skin, really. That's what you've been trained in, which is really amazing. So you would have started out your career really, I suppose, you know, from a medical dermatological perspective, but now there's all these technologies, as you've said. So what would you say in that sort of 17-year history has been the, either injectables or topical or laser, that you've seen has had the greatest impact in that sort of aging naturally and gracefully?
Well, I think it's a fabulous question. And what I would tell you is, first, fundamentally, I'm a medical and surgical dermatologist. So at the heart of everything I do is dealing with rashes, skin cancer checks, treating skin cancers, mole checks, fundamentally through and through medical and surgical dermatology. And that's been consistent, constant, and unchanged. within that realm, we've seen all of the nuance and the launch of new technologies. I think for us, the non-invasive technologies, device-based interventions have probably been the single greatest growth area for body contouring, for image creation, fat reduction, anti-aging. Those have probably been the greatest growth engine. But again, much like medical and surgical dermatology are our bread and butter, our tried and true, it's your fillers and your neuromodulators. They're your everyday staple for anti-aging and for aesthetic rejuvenation. So if you think of aesthetics like a pyramid, I would argue that the base of the pyramid, the largest drivers or demand, the common procedures are your neuromodulators and your fillers. As you move up that aesthetic pyramid, we may layer on lasers for vessels. Maybe above that are micro-coring technologies to help with lines and wrinkles. Above that are non-invasive body contouring. So all of them have a place, but it's just where they fall on the spectrum, the cost, and the commonality with which patients seek those therapies.
Yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying. So it really is that layering, that foundation, and that building on. What I'd love to explore with you, Jeff, is here in Australia and dermatology and dermatology in the USA, I from my observations, I may be wrong, maybe you could advise, that the patients in the US see the dermatologist as a long, lifelong relationship. And we're here in Australia, it's changing and evolving, but it perhaps was more episodic. So can you talk me through your relationship with your patients and how, what does that look like?
Oh, absolutely. And that's such an interesting viewpoint, as I was absolutely unaware of that. To your point, my relationships with patients tend to be not only lifelong and continuous, but multi-generational, where I may see the 98-year-old grandfather, the child, and the grandchild all from the same family. And we're seeing our patients almost regularly at 6 to 12 month intervals for our normal routine skin surveillance examinations. Then sprinkled on there will be visits for rashes, a spot check, an issue, a concern. So really, these are lifelong, continuous relationships with routine, scheduled, consistent follow-up. I'm surprised and I'm glad to hear that it's evolving to be a more similar model in Australia, because I think truly patients benefit from routine, predictable skin surveillance. You know, both here as well as Australia, of all places, we are absolutely fighting a skin cancer epidemic, right? The numbers are of incredible proportion, whether it's squamous cell, basal cell, and melanoma. The incidence rates of all of them are rising. Fortunately, the proportion of patients who die from dreaded things like melanoma is decreasing because of early diagnosis, surveillance, better treatments. But nonetheless, we're in the midst of a skin cancer epidemic. So it's that continuous long-term relationship that I think is critical to help us be empowered to have tools to fight that.
Yes, I totally agree. And that's definitely changing. And it's probably more towards that, but it has taken some time for even the patients to understand the value of the dermatologist as a skin specialist as well. So no, it's really exciting, but yeah, I think we're a little bit behind you guys, but definitely something that we need to ensure that our patients, that I think that recall and the reminder for them to constantly come, I agree with you, is that, and I suppose really what it sounds like you guys have got in with that intergenerational is prevention rather than cure. I suppose that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, well, I think that the reality is prevention is critical. And if we're able to take steps early in life, with good sun practice, good sun behaviors, the utilization of daily application of a broad spectrum sunscreen, the introduction of sun protective clothing, hats, sunglasses, UPF-based fabrics, safe sun behaviors. All of these are critical early tools. I'll give you a great example. I didn't grow up wearing UPF fabrics, but my children, maybe twice in their life have seen the sun without wearing a sun shirt, yeah. right? It's just routinely now a part of the life. And my kids aren't alone when we're at a community pool, at a party, at a resort. You know, all of the children are wearing sun shirts.
Yeah.
So we're changing the way these kids are exposed in their youth, which will have, of course, long-term preventative impacts on the incidence and developments of non-melanoma and melanoma skin cancers later in life. So it's critical. Education, practice changing behaviors, all of these things are such an important part of what we can do. And when we establish early long-term relationships, we're able to contribute towards changing their behavior and altering, if you will, the course of their sun lifetime and their exposure and their risk factors.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, my own children have been brought up in the same way. And as now, it's interesting with my own daughter. So not being a medical practitioner, but working with so many dermatologists and aesthetic practitioners and plastic surgeons, number one anti-aging has been sunscreen, obviously. But they, as you say, your children and my children and so forth, will bring forth a new type of anti-aging services to that new generation, the Z Gen, the Y Gen, the millennial. Have you seen that coming through, and how different does it look?
Oh, it looks very different. And what's interesting is what we see here epigenerationally is we're seeing kind of the evolution of the TikTok generation, that the teens and tweens, the preteens, are already, particularly young women, are already curating skincare. They're already curating approaches to moisturizers and masks and scrubs and all of these things that as a young man, I never even dreamt about.
It's so true. It's so true. But then we've got the quandary then, because they are sourcing information from that TikTok or Instagram or wherever. So how do we manage that misinformation, and how do we direct them to the experts?
Well, and that's our constant struggle and challenge. And one of the things we do is we try to create educational content. We try to combat misinformation. We try to drive them to influencers, if you will, that are science-based, evidence-based, not just pay-to-play or latest fad and trend. So it's a tremendous challenge, because despite the resources that the academies have and all of us have, we don't have that bandwidth that an influencer might have that's on TikTok that has 10 million followers.
That's right.
So it's a struggle. You know, it involves education. It means all hands on deck to ensure that we're delivering good educational content to some of our most vulnerable patients. I will tell you as a demonstrative idea, twice this week, I saw a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old, so a preteen and a teen, who came in with a horrible facial contact dermatitis because they had seen a video online and tried a new trend and a skincare product that they were absolutely sensitive and irritated by. So it's real, and we've got to combat it as best we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be honest, here in Australia, there's a lot of movement around our APRA guidelines, what you can say, how you need to consent patients, what can you say on social media, and it's all very tumultuous at the moment, but really combating that particular issue. So it'll be interesting to discuss with you next week, but that's a whole nother topic. It's massive. So Jeff, how do you balance your business and leisure? What interests you?
So that has been an evolution in practice. And I will be the first to acknowledge that in the early stages of my career, I was misbalanced. And I would even argue probably misguided, in that my focus was very driven towards developing my business, developing my brand, growing my presence, my reputation on a national and international scale, on the podium, in publishing, in lecturing, in teaching, and speaking. And I will tell you that as I've matured in practice, I've fortunately been blessed that work I put in has given me tremendous opportunity and on a, you know, grand scale to do lots of different fun and incredible things. But the flip of that is I've also evolved my approach to practice, and I've recognized how critical the proper balance between work and pleasure is, and how precious the time we have with our family is.
Yeah.
So my balance now, I'm a very early riser, so I'm in the office quite early. So we get started at the crack of dawn, but I try to be home by 3 p.m. each day so that when my kids arrive home from school, I'm there to greet them, to assist them with homework, to take them to their sporting events, to their music and piano lessons, to play dates. So that's really been a growth in the balance of my life. And then, of course, also getting back to the things that I love, that keep me balanced, that keep me sane, that keep me in good spirits and help relieve the stress. So for me, it's going to the gym. We love boating and fishing and traveling. So there's so many things that we do, yoga, Pilates. And what I found is the more I enrich my life with these things that give me pleasure and balance, the more successful I am when I'm engaged with patients in my office.
Yes, very true. And that's so reassuring to hear. And I think just generally as a movement, the new workforce and people in your sort of at the prime of your practice, there is that real focus on work-life balance, which sort of, I suppose, answers the first question I was going to ask you in that rapid fire question part of our interview. So I might go straight on to the second one of our rapid fire questions. Who inspires you?
Oh, so it's a fabulous question. Inspiration comes from so many sources, but I'll tell you that growing up, I was did not grow up in privilege, and in fact have had to create all of the opportunity that I've had. And to watch my parents, both of them, struggle to create opportunities for me to be successful, and to sacrifice at times the things that were important to them to ensure that I had the opportunity and the tools available to me to be able to have the chance to kind of run with it, if you will. So truly seeing their struggle, their evolution, and the opportunities they created, or the sacrifices they made to give me my opportunity to shine, it would be both of them. So my parents have been incredible inspiration throughout my life. And then I'll tell you, frankly, truly, looking at my wife and children, the passion, the drive, the opportunity, the future, the pure joy that they have and that we share together every day inspires me to work hard, to devote myself to be a better human, a better person, to make the world around me a little bit better. And it's funny, when I look at them, I realize that they'll likely do even more than all of what I've been able to do. And that's such an inspiration.
Yeah, I totally agree. And isn't that wonderful that you've had such great family through your parents and your wife and children? It's just beautiful. And it would be great that your children can step on the shoulders of a giant and move forward to the next, you know, exciting phase, which is really exciting.
Well, as it stands, our youngest is still absolutely convinced we're going to practice together. And as much as I'm delighted and hope that he does become a dermatologist, at 8 years old, I've told him, listen, it would be my pleasure. I just only hope I'm not still working when you're a dermatologist, as much as I want to work together.
Well, you know what I always think is a missing part in many private practices is that professorship that can come in and mentor and coach. So that might be your role, which would be beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and we could make them. I can actually see a little mini series coming out of that. It would be lovely. Jeff, finally, what words of wisdom do you have to your younger self?
So often, you know, our greatest growth comes from the opportunities where we allow ourselves some introspection. And as I've done that throughout my career, what I've recognized and what I would have advised my younger self is identify your passions, commit to your passions, be unwavering in your beliefs, And when it's something that you have a conviction, follow through, take it to the end, whether or not it's easy, hard, or challenging. If it's what you believe, you've got to follow through and take it all the way. So it's really about identifying your drivers, your passion, and never sacrificing on your ideals, right? There's lots of influences in this world. There's lots of people who will claw at you, will talk to you, will influence you, will say things. You just focus, stay true to yourself, and know who and what you are. And if you're unwavering in those beliefs, success will invariably follow you.
Oh, such wise words. And I couldn't agree more. So thank you so much, Dr. Jeffrey Frumowitz, for your time today. It was such a great podcast and to hear all that you had to say. I can't wait to meet you next week in the Gold Coast in Australia and come to see your presentations, but of course to socialize, which would be lovely. And thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. And again, an honor and a privilege to join you. I've absolutely enjoyed our discussion and I will look forward to seeing you. Have a wonderful day and thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Doctor Diaries. You can find out more about our amazing guests on our website, hanyaoversby.com.au, or join our Instagram page, Doctor Diaries Podcast, to find out more about our podcasts. We look forward to you joining us again.